Hey, it's Bethany here. So this episode is a little different from anything else I've ever shared here on Dialed In. This is actually a recording from when I was interviewed with Chris Aird on his Epic podcast, and I had so much fun talking to him about entrepreneurship and traveling in a motorhome and mindset that it was just too good not to share with you. Chris is an amazing consultant. He helps companies move past things that are holding them back and grow bigger with mindset internally and with financial results on the other end. So be sure you connect with him after listening to this podcast. Thanks so much for spending time here today and enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Epic, another podcast episode brought to you from With Purpose. My name is Chris, and I'm the owner as well as lead business strategist and growth expert. Our special guest today for you is Bethany Clemmensen. She's the owner of Big Life Resources. Bethany, how are you?
I am excellent, Chris. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I'm excited that you're here. I've known of you for a couple of years. You have this huge amount of energy, some that I wish that I could have from what you do and what I do. But why don't you start us off and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I am wife to Tom of 20 years, and I have two kids. My son Gavin is 13, he'll be a freshman, and my daughter Gwen is 15, soon to be 16, yikes, and she'll be a sophomore. So we live in the North Woods of Wisconsin, and we just moved here last fall after selling pretty much everything we owned and spending a year living in a motorhome and traveling with our kids around the U.S. So,
wow. Okay, so I got to ask, and you can only share what you want to share, but what caused you to sell everything and be in a motorhome for that length of time?
I was running the corporate rat race and loved a lot about what I did, but I was missing out on the kids growing up. And when I wasn't traveling, my husband was. And so we built our house and we had the 2.5 kids and the picket fence and the cars and all the things that you're supposed to have to be fulfilled and happy. And we're looking at each other like, what are we doing? There has got to be more than this. And all those things that we thought we needed to be happy, really happiness doesn't have anything to do with that, right? And so we sold everything and packed up what was left in a couple trailers, mainly my husband's tools that he couldn't part with. And we hit the road, and we'd never really camped before. So that was an experience. But there was a turning point with our kids where it was Christmas break and we were like stuck together for 5 days, and we all thought we were going to kill each other. And Tom and I looked at each other and said, there's no way we could ever even think about, because we were just toying with the idea of traveling for a year with them. And we're like, not going to happen. And then about 2 weeks later, we're talking and we're like, that's exactly why we have to do it.
Oh.
Because really, we can't be together because we can't stand each other. What? Like, that's not who we want to be as a family. That's not how we want to be in this world. So don't get me wrong, it wasn't all rainbows and unicorns, but none of us have any regrets. And actually, when COVID happened, the kids looked at me and said, can't we just go on the road again? I mean, we're stuck in isolation anyway. And yeah, so we actually talked about that for a little bit, and then we decided to stay put. But
wow, there's got to be more to all that. So we'll have to have you back on and talk about that.
I'd love that.
So for you, between a room, desk, or a car, which one do you clean first and why?
Ooh, room. Well, I guess when you say room, I think bedroom. I don't know why, but because that's where I wake up in the morning. And cluttered space, cluttered mind for me. Like, I want to have a clean, tidy space to live and wake up to. So,
okay. Do you have a favorite word, Bethany? And if so, or a catchphrase? And if so, why?
My favorite word is ease.
Ease, like E-A-S-E?
Yeah. Yes, like living at ease.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that your favorite word?
Because that's my goal. Because if you can be at peace, regardless of the exterior circumstances, then you have power. Because ease is like a superpower.
I like it. I like it. All right. Very good. So you wanted to escape the corporate rat race. So tell us a little bit about your business, how you got into it, your purpose, your why.
Sure. Absolutely. So in the corporate world, I used to open up like multi-million dollar senior living communities, and I loved it. I love seniors. I've learned so much from working with seniors, and I'm actually a nurse by trade, which is a whole other story. But so I had the opportunity to hire teams and coach them on management and leadership, which really it all starts with yourself. Mm-hmm. And then as I progressed, I also had the opportunity to do culture training. And the last company I worked for, the culture was based on Ritz-Carlton culture.
Okay.
And the training that we did consisted of like every employee at every location. I would travel around, and it was 8 hours of training for every employee, every level. And these are communities that have like 200 apartments in them. They're massive. There's 3 restaurants on site. There's like a fitness center. You have personal trainers, concierge, Lincoln Town Car to take you wherever you want to go. Like, it is luxury living. And so you can imagine the amount of staff, right? And so I'm training all these people, and it's really what it is it's coaching. It's mindset. You're teaching people how to not get their feathers ruffled when someone accuses them of something, and how to put their ego away and love people well. And I loved it. And I'd become a coach, a certified coach, several years prior when I invested in a coach for myself because I was stuck. And the more I did that piece of my job, the more I knew that like it was time for me to jump. It was time for me to take it out on my own and do it for myself. So that's what I did.
Okay, very good. So what are some things that you have learned? So you've made the switch into working for a corporation, and now you are the business owner. What are some things that you've learned from being a business owner?
I think the first thing is it's going to test your upper limit. Like, it's going to test your own glass ceiling, because you'll never outperform your own beliefs, right? And entrepreneurship for me has been the hardest, in your face, smack you down test of that I've ever experienced. Like, it's one thing to navigate your own crazy self-talk and shove it back in when you're working for somebody else, but then it's you, and you're essentially selling you. That's a whole other level of crazy. Like, and mine was untucked everywhere in the beginning. Like, it was stopping me from being successful. And I think if you're going to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to deal with your belief system. You can have all the tools you want, and tools are amazing, and we need those. But I had all the tools, but if I didn't have the belief, I was just going to self-sabotage, and I was just going to undermine myself and not be able to move forward.
Yeah, I agree with that. Let me ask you as kind of a follow-up question to this, Bethany. If we have all the tools and yet we're limited by our own BS, our own belief system, right? Mm-hmm. Can the company grow?
No. I mean, it can grow. It can grow in certain areas for a short amount of time, but it can't sustain it, because you'll always reach your limit, and then you'll do something to smack yourself back down. I mean, if you really don't believe that you're worthy of having it or having that level of success, you're going to sabotage it unknowingly. It's not like you walk around thinking, oh, how can I screw myself over here? Nobody thinks that, but really you don't outperform your own beliefs. So yes, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah. And I think that's some of the things that we're facing normally during a non-pandemic year or generation. But there always seems to be something that's coming up generation after generation, decade after decade. You know, 2008, 2009, we had the housing bubble, right? And a lot of people went on unemployment. They tried to start their own business, whatever the case might be. But what really, I think, as you're saying right now, and I am a firm believer of this, I help teach it, I help implement it, is if we can get this taken care of, then everything that falls into play, including our personal relationships, mm-hmm. our business relationships, not just the company, and as well as our relationships with our employees, we really start to see growth. And I'm a firm believer it's got to start with the person first, as well as the mindset, but it's got to be the person first, mm-hmm. and then we can work on everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the work that makes everything else work.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm glad we're on the same page with that. Yeah. So what is one thing that you know now that you wish you had known before you started?
That it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about me. Hmm. All that matters is what I think about me. And I started to really think into that as I reflected on my time in senior living. You know, as a nurse, I got pretty close to residents. I was helping hire teams in all aspects, but I love the nursing aspect too. And so I would be on deathbeds with people. That wasn't uncommon. I would be sitting with them after they got the diagnosis. I would be talking to them about a plan and with their families. And I never heard anybody say they were so happy they made everyone happy. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody talks about that on their deathbed. In fact, what they say is, I've lived a good life, but I wish I would have pushed myself harder, or I wish I wouldn't have done what my parents told me to do, and I would have gone to school to be a teacher, or I always wanted to travel, but I just never had the courage. Like, those are the things that you hear. And I watched year after year, dreams die with people, but it was never about what other people thought. You know what I mean? Nobody ever said, I'm so glad I people pleased my whole life. And when you can let go of worrying about if anybody's going to be offended or if you're going to step on toes, like, again, there's power in that too. You know, if I had to teach on superpowers, ease would be the first one and letting go of what people think would be the second one. I mean, absolutely, because it doesn't matter. Just, and I know you didn't ask me this, but I'm going to run with it just for a second. Okay. So just like nobody on their deathbed has ever said to me, I'm so glad I drove a Mercedes or lived in a 5,000 square foot home or had a house on the water, or I'm so glad I have $3 million in my bank account. But yet we, as a society, at least here in the US, we will spend our entire lives chasing that, thinking that's going to bring us happiness, which goes back to the very first question you asked me about our adventure. I was that person. I thought that when I got those things, that magically I'd be happy. And that's not what does it. It's like understanding who you are here, getting dialed into that, yep. getting rid of your the stuff that holds you back, and then living into really who you are. That's where fulfillment and happiness comes from.
Do you think, this is going a completely different direction. I'm actually good with this. Okay. Do you think, because when you talked about worry, I also, the word that came to my mind was regret. People mm-hmm. regret not being able to do something. And do you think people would live a more fuller life if they weren't worried about self-imposed beliefs that they've put on themselves?
Absolutely. But the thing is, you don't know. You don't even recognize those beliefs because they're ingrained in you from the time that you're small, and that's your truth. Like, you don't see that. And that's where coaching comes in, or even consulting comes in, because you ask the questions that bring to light, you know, oh, wait, maybe there's another way to think about this.
Huh. Right. Yeah. And I also think, though, that in that mindset that people are okay not being comfortable with who they are. It's almost like there's something inside of them that they want to change, mm-hmm. but they don't want the change.
Yes. I did a podcast interview a couple of days ago, and I have it written here. So she said to me, the person I was interviewing was an author and coach, and she said, people don't change until they hurt enough that they have to, they learn enough that they want to, or they receive enough that they're able to. And I love that. I've never heard it put like that. I mean, I've heard, you know, if you're not growing, you're dying. And, you know, the pain of staying where you are has to be greater than the pain of change, and all those platitudes and fancy quotes, which are great. But But boy, that seemed to like really narrow in on, you know, for me, I didn't start to change until it got so uncomfortable and I felt so stuck that I was so mad about being stuck that I couldn't get out no matter what I did. That's when I'm like, okay, uncle, get me the coach. I'll do the coach. I don't even know what coaching is, but fine, I'll do it, you know, because I was just so stuck.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so great about the industry that you and I are in, is we get to help people from that outside perspective. We get to see something that they may not see, may not recognize, or they know it is there, but they need that extra additional support to help them identify it or come against that, right? Okay. That was good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. What is, why your business? What separates you from everybody else within your industry?
You know what? There's like a 1 in 400 trillion chance that you are you, Chris, and I am me. And I think that I'm just me. Like, and that's what makes me different. You know, like I could tout off my credentials and all that, but that doesn't matter. Like the people that resonate with me are finding me, and they'll continue to find me, and they'll seek me out, as will your people. And, you know, I've done the work. I'm a product of the work, and I'm pretty real with people, and the individuals that seek me out want someone to be like, okay, cut the crap. Like your disempowered beliefs are driving this whole conversation. It's time to, you know, and that's, I mean, I am who I am. And so I would guess the answer would just be because I'm me, but not in an arrogant way, you know, and because you're you, right? It's,
yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what people, I mean, that's the crux of all relationships, right? That's mm-hmm. what we're attracted to, is somebody being themselves and not being someone else that they weren't born to be.
Right. Oh my goodness. I faked it for so many years. Like I didn't realize the degree to which I stuffed feelings because, well, in the C-suite, you know, you put the suit on, you wear the heels, and you definitely don't cry. And you don't show emotion. And I did that for years. And I didn't realize at the time that I was like, had my capes and masks on. You know, it's always hindsight's always 20/20. You can always connect the dots if you look hard enough backwards. And it's so freeing to be you. Can I share a story?
Please.
Okay. So when my daughter was like fourth or fifth grade, I was working from home, and she came home from school, and she was just, she just was heavy and a mess, and she had big tears in her eyes. And so I stopped what I was doing, and I'm like, what is going on? And she said all week at school, they had had different people come in that worked different professions and tell them all about what they did. And that Friday at school, the teacher had gone around to every student and made them stand up and say what they wanted to be when they grew up. And it got to her. And she didn't know what to say. And so she was crying about it because some of the other kids snickered at her and, you know, she felt less than. And of course, she couldn't really articulate all that to me in fourth grade, but she looked at me, and I'll never forget this. She looked at me and she's like, Mom, why can't I just be me? Why can't I just be me? And it still gives me goosebumps. Isn't that what we all want, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that what we all want? Just to be authentically, unapologetically us. And that's what I do in my business. I help women step into their power, be who they are, and unapologetically do it in a way that fits them perfectly.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful. And leave it up to our children to make the most iconic statements around. There is something that happens somewhere in our teenage, young adult years where we then are transitioned, and I don't think it's intentional, but we transition into us being not us, right? Mm-hmm. That is so beautiful and moving. Thank you very much for sharing that. I appreciate it, and I know our listeners will as well. And you know what? I'm going to take this moment to say thank you, Bethany, for you being you. Mm-hmm. I say that to a lot of people that I work with, or people that I know just need to hear it. And it's not because I'm lying, it's because it's true. Thank you for being you. I wouldn't be me if it wasn't for you. So I say that to you today. Thank you for being you.
Thank you.
What would be, What would be one thing that people seem to misunderstand about your industry?
I think they don't think it's legitimate. I think there's so many people that like buy a $25 training program and call themselves a coach, or they sign up with a multi-level marketing and they, you know, sell fitness products and they call themselves a coach, that it's very confusing. And not that they're not doing amazing things, but I think that people don't always understand exactly what a coach does. I didn't. You know, I went to a coach out of desperation because the company that I worked for offered that service. So otherwise I never would have done anything like that because I didn't have any idea what it was. And so I think that's, I don't know, it's kind of sad in a way, you know, that I've known people that are like, whatever, everybody calls themselves a coach these days, that's ridiculous. And, you know, so I would say that.
Okay. I'm just going to echo what you said. It wasn't until my last professor in my master's program that was the one that told me that this is what I should be doing. I had never heard of it. I had seen it in action, but I had not heard of it. And so I get it, just like what you're saying. But I think the writing is on the wall and the proof is in the pudding, if you will, when the people that we do work with, because we're passionate about growing them, because we are able to tap into their untapped potential, that those are the people that get it. Those are the people that can be out there on our behalf, if you will, saying, I'm a changed individual. My business has changed because so-and-so helped me through it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is one of my favorite questions to ask. If a book was to be written about you, Bethany, what would the name of that book be? And then like that little summary paragraph at the back end, what would that say?
It would be called Ditching the Dream.
Oh.
And it would say the story of a woman who ditched everything that she was taught to want, be, do, and have, and sought out the life in her heart.
Wow. I think I see bestseller on that already. That's, and you know why? It's because already I've known you for a while and I've watched you through social media for a while. You are so real. And I think for the most part, it's unadulterated information and feelings and all of that you put out there for the world to see. And that's you being you. So again, I thank you for that and sharing. And for our listeners, they need to be ready to read that book, Ditching the Dream. What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Because of you, my life is better, or my life has changed. I got an email from one of my very first clients when I first became a coach. So I had done, my coach that I worked with initially, when I stepped out of senior living, he called me and said, okay, I couldn't talk to you about this before because it was a conflict of interest and I wanted to honor everyone that we were working with, but you have to come work with me. Let me train you to be a coach. And so I went through his process. And then of course with the John Maxwell team, which is how we met, right? Then I went through that training as well. But one of my very first clients with my very first certification, she sent me an email and she said, I just want you to know, I've been thinking about you. And because of you, my life is different. And you set me on a path. I worked with her for probably 6 months. And it was face to face. And she came to me. It's so interesting how people come to you. Like they just reach a point where they know that something's got to give and they think it might be them, you know, like that's typically the story that I hear when people come to me. But she said, I'm in my 50s. I've worked my entire life and I've really never lasted at a job more than a year and a half or 2 years, not because I'm fired, but because I quit. And I'm thinking maybe it's not all my bosses. Maybe it's me. And so we worked through that and her level of belief in herself was so low and there was a history of huge, huge childhood abuse that she had never shared with a soul. And once she let it into the light and we worked through the beliefs that she had that held her back, it was incredible. Her marriage improved. She just looked lighter. I don't even know how to describe it, but you know, you meet people and you can just tell they're like light and they're themselves. And so yeah, that would be that like, it made me cry. The email made me cry. She's still on her journey. And just to know that you could have a small part in, even if they have to borrow your belief until they can get their own, there's nothing better. When I was younger, I made really bad decisions in regards to relationships because it matched my belief that I wasn't worthy. And I was working at a seed company, and I was a customer service rep, and I was in a really, really, really bad relationship. And I didn't tell a soul. I suffered in silence. And I just pretended. I put on the capes and the masks again, and I pretended. And there was this woman that worked there. And I don't even remember her name. And I didn't know her very well because I had put up a wall for everybody. I was so busy trying to pretend and hold it together. And she came up to me one day and she said, "I don't know what's going on with you. I don't pretend to know your story, but I want you to know that you are incredibly smart and you can do anything you want. You don't have to live the life that you're in right now." And it changed everything for me. Like that one sentence. And so if I can do that for somebody else, if I can help be that catalyst, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's powerful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that you are thankful every single day for that one sentence, for those few words, and just goes to show us the power of a human voice, both positive and negative, right?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So as we wrap up, what are a couple of things that you want our listeners to take away?
So I would say to your listeners, if you have a still small voice that's nagging at you with either an idea or a wanting that there is more for you, you need to listen to it. You need to lean into that and listen to it because it's not there to be tamped down. And if you find yourself in a place that you're stuck, do whatever you can to get unstuck. You are worth it. You're absolutely worth it. There's a reason that you're here. It doesn't mean you have to be famous and on a stage and doing, you know, stuff that causes you to be an internet sensation. But really leaning into those gifts and talents that are uniquely yours, because we all have them. Do that. This life was not meant for playing small. Like it was meant for living big.
Yep. Love that. Thank you so much. Okay. So people are encouraged by you. They're engaged by you. They're empowered by you. How can they find you? Facebook, social media?
Sure. Oh, yes. Site. Okay. So my website is bethanyclem.com. You can find me there. You can connect with me there. I'm on Facebook. I have a business page, and you can just Bethany Clemenson. I think if you go to Facebook and do the @ speaker Bethany, I'll come up. I do lives on there on a regular basis and just try to offer hope and encouragement consistently for anyone that chooses to show up. And yeah, I think those are probably the two best ways. I'm on Instagram too, but not as much. You can find me on LinkedIn as well, but I tend to hang out the most on Facebook. That's my jam.
That's your jam. Okay. Well, Bethany, again, it's been such a privilege and a pleasure to host you today, to host your being, your ethos, right? Everything that you are, all your experiences and how you've taken those. And as you said eloquently earlier, just to empower the women that you are coaching. So thank you. I thank God for you, for creating you and being on the face of this planet. All the best. And I hope to have you back on this podcast really, really soon.
I would love that, Chris. Thank you for the invite. Thank you for the kind words. That's very touching. And yeah, I look forward to talking again.
Sounds good. Thanks again. Well, thank you again for listening to another podcast brought to you from With Purpose. And as we sign off, whatever you think, do, or say, do it with purpose.